have my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain, you're the only thing I wanna touch. Never knew that it could mean so much, so much. You're the fear, I don't care, 'cause I've never been so high. Follow me through the dark, let me take you past the satellite. You can see the world you brought to life.
Sports Talk in the Burg, coming at you live from RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. We're back, and we have a call-in number now. We now know the number, and we have it open for you to call in. 412-397-6816 is to call into the station and to get your live to get your opinions live on the air. Again, that's not on the actual air. That is on the live streaming air of the internet. Zach Laufer, Ian Kist, and Colin Wilson with you today. Sam Anthony cannot be with us today. He is at a meeting, but we will power through. We will continue to bring you coverage of your Pittsburgh sports. That's why we're Sports Talking the Burg. We got a lot of good things to talk about this week. Most notably, the Steelers coming off a victory over the 49ers, 43-18 at Heinz Field, the home opener. It was a packed house, and they put on quite a show for the Steelers in that. Antonio Brown had another fantastic game. Ben Roethlisberger had definitely a better game than he had against the Patriots. The Steelers' defense actually played quite well yesterday, or 2 days ago, I should say, and they pulled out the 43-18 win. What we want to talk about is, which team are we going to see consistently throughout the year? Is it going to be the team that we saw leave Rob Gronkowski wide open on multiple occasions in the New England game, or is it going to be the team that dominated the 49ers in both field time of possession and on the scoreboard? Ian?
I personally think the offense we saw Sunday is who we're going to see. The defense, I think it's going to be week to week a difference. Maybe something, they changed something in practice, something clicked against San Francisco that didn't click against the Patriots.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't have a Rob Gronkowski on the 49ers, but they contain Hyde, who went off the week before against Minnesota Vikings. But we saw this last year too, not saying these two teams are similar because they're not. They're two different teams from year to year. But we saw the Steelers dominate games last year, come out and struggle to put up a point in the following week. So I think against the Rams, I think they're still going to have that fight. So I think we will see – I think we're going to see the offense, maybe not 43 points, but I think they're going to put up at least 30. And our defense, I think, is going to give up about 24 points because they did only give up three until the fourth quarter. And you saw in the fourth quarter they got a little lax. You never want to get lax like that, relaxed, but – they also had a 30-point lead at the time. But, yeah, I was impressed. I didn't, at first, I'm like, at halftime, I'm like, who is this team facing the 49ers? Because it's not the Steelers we saw all preseason and against week one against Brady and Gronkowski and the Patriots.
Right.
But now it's just going to be consistency. That's my biggest focus right now, consistency from week to week.
Now, we all thought San Francisco wasn't going to be a division contender even, so it's hard for me to really get a good feel for after this game.
But they did beat a pretty solid running attack, at least in the Minnesota Vikings, and a team that everyone thought that maybe could make a run at the NFC, what is it, NFC North title.
I do agree with that, but Minnesota didn't look good in that game either, and I'm not saying I don't give San Francisco credit for that game. I thought they played well at times, but they do lack on offense. Kaepernick isn't the Kaepernick we saw his sophomore season where he took over Alex Smith's job. Mm-hmm. Carlos Hyde went out with a head injury, I believe, late in that or mid game, and that probably affected some of their offense. They've lost a lot on defense just with retirements, injuries, off the field issues. So San Francisco isn't the San Francisco we saw face Baltimore a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. But that's not taking away from the Steelers. They had a great offensive production. Antonio Brown went off. proving that he is, if not the best receiver in the NFL. Big Ben had a great game. D'Angelo Williams has continued to impress. Another tremendous rushing game. But I'm going to have to see how they do in St. Louis. St. Louis is, again, a contender in that division with Seattle. Now Seattle 0-2.
Right.
So, really, I think this game plays more of a role than it did, than last week did against San Francisco, especially because it's at St. Louis.
Right.
So they're going to go in an environment that's going to be tough, especially with a rushing attack that St. Louis brings. So I guess I'm just going to wait and see on this upcoming week to really give a good indication of what Steelers team we're going to see this year. I predicted them to start 1-3, and I'm still going to keep that prediction. As of now, I still think it's on pace to do that. And that's not taking away from the Steelers. I think this week will be a great matchup. But I still, with Le'Veon back, it's going to be interesting. But I still don't see enough in their defense to where they'll be able to turn the corner.
Just on that, just on the note of the Steelers, looking at the stats a little bit, Roethlisberger went 21 of 27, only attempted 27 passes, which to me was something I did not expect to see, especially for these first two games, being that Bell was going to be out. You expected him to throw at least 50 a game.
Oh, definitely.
But he was 21 of 27 for 369 yards, three TDs. D'Angelo Williams, like you said, in the place of Bell, got 20 carries, 77 yards, and three TDs also. He's actually the number one fantasy running back so far, which is something that no one thought was going to happen, including myself. I drafted Le'Veon Bell. I did not draft D'Angelo Williams. That is my fault, and I'm paying for that right now. I wish I would have. Antonio Brown had, like I said, had another outstanding game receiving. He extended his streak of five reception, 50-yard games to 35. It's somewhere in the 30s
regardless
or 40s.
The number, it's ridiculous. Fabulous.
It's ridiculous either way. I mean, the guy just is too quick, too fast, too good with his hands to not catch five passes.
He can run past you and he can make plays. Just, I mean, you saw game, he made a heck of a catch on a comeback that was on a crucial third down. It's just, it's impressive what he can do.
Yes. So we have to talk about what they're going to do now that Bell is back, because D'Angelo Williams was not supposed to put up these kind of numbers. And Mike Tomlin, excuse me, I'm a little under the weather today. Mike Tomlin had his press conference today for the media, and I watched some of it, and he gave off the impression, he didn't go out and say, we're not giving Williams any more carries. He's only a reserve option, like a fail safe, I guess you could say. He didn't say that, but he implied it. The way he put it, I don't have the quote here, but it sounded like he was complimenting Williams on a good first two games, and it almost felt like he was saying, okay, good job. Now Bell's getting 30 carries / touches a game. You're going to get one or two. That's how it's going to be. It was as if he was wishing him well.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him a send off. Maybe I don't know why, because they should, now that they have exploited that D'Angelo Williams can still run the football efficiently and effectively, they should use him more than they used LeGarrette Blount, than they used their other backup running backs behind Bell.
Yeah, basically they brought Williams in basically for the first two games. And now, but I don't agree. Like, if Tomlin's thinking, thank you very much, you did your job, he did more than his job. They didn't expect much out of him. So, but I still think let Bell take the majority of the carries, obviously, the next couple weeks, because Williams has been a workhorse. Let him rest a little bit, get his – he's got to be sore. He's got to be tired. Let him rest and then use both of them, especially in make one a third down guy. Don't like waste his contract. Don't let him just sit there. And if he's going to bring something to it, don't let him just sit there and waste his talent right now.
Like they potentially to LeGarrette Blount, causing the. Actually, you know, I was talking to my uncle over the weekend on Sunday, actually, and he brought up something that I never even thought about. Going back to last year, when LeGarrette Blount notoriously walked off the field at that Tennessee Monday night game, and the next day he was cut.
Yeah.
And the next day after that was signed by the Patriots. And then helps carry them to the Super Bowl. My uncle, we were talking about the Patriots and Deflategate and Spygate and all the gates. And he said, the Patriots sent LeGarrette Blount to the Steelers to gain any sort of knowledge that they could of the team, both of the Steelers and of the teams that they were playing, only that they knew that he would get cut by the team. They told him to do something to get cut by the team just so that the Patriots could re-sign him without having to trade for him, so that when he came back to the Patriots,
He brought
some knowledge with him about the other opponents. And like when my uncle said that, at first it took me like 5 seconds to really like let it sink in.
What did you just say?
Yeah, like, right. And I thought about it, and I just thought,
the more and more it makes sense.
You know, like, he is a conspiracy theorist.
Okay.
Very, very highly on the spectrum, I guess I could say. But it just made a lot of sense to me.
I heard
from what we've been hearing.
I didn't hear what you just said. I didn't hear that in depth, but I did hear that Blount purposely did that because he knew the Patriots were going to sign him immediately after he – because they knew the Rooneys, he was doing something. You just don't go off the field like that.
Yeah.
Especially with the Rooneys being your owner, you're going to get cut. So they think – I heard that he purposely – did that, but I didn't hear
without
what
the
your
Patriots.
Own, yeah,
okay.
I heard that the Patriots were going to sign him. That they purposely had something like a contract already written, but
right,
your uncle. But yeah, like I don't know. That's a good
that,
point.
That's what
like,
I'm
I didn't,
like
I didn't hear it in that depth though.
It's definitely not. It's not serious, and
it's funny.
It probably isn't true, but you know, with everything,
but don't put
that,
it past
yeah,
the Patriots.
With everything that's happened in the past couple weeks, it just wouldn't surprise me.
I can't buy that. I'm sorry. I mean, you see in-season trades all the time. So,
but it wasn't a trade, though.
No.
He walked off the field.
I understand. But LeGarrette Blount had some off-the-field, on-the-field, whatever issues.
Yeah.
I mean, the punch to the face in the season over against Boise State in the day.
That's fair.
He's always had some issues.
That is fair.
On and off the field. So I wouldn't put it past LeGarrette Blount to walk off the football field, I'll say that.
Okay.
And you see in-season trades to where one guy goes to another organization, maybe even the same division sometimes. So for it to be used to an extent to get plays or knowledge of the Steelers organization, I don't buy that due to the fact there are in-season trades. Like, I feel like I guess I'm trying to describe this. I really can't compare the two. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, that wouldn't gain that much knowledge than what a trade would. If they don't see a problem with trading in season,
sure,
then what is the big deal about signing a guy?
Yeah,
why are the Patriots concerned about the Steelers? I would be concerned about, even though their division isn't strong for the most part, even though the Bills are going to give them a run for their money this year, I think, but who cares about the state? Like,
no, I'd be worried about.
We may not even play them once
or
a week.
Well,
once a season.
All right, this is pretty far out there, but just think about this. This was, what was it, before or after the Colts game that the Steelers played? I have to look that up.
What is it?
Was it last year when the Steelers beat the Colts at home?
Yes,
I was at that game. Yeah.
Was that after Blount was cut?
Yes.
I think, yeah, okay.
No.
Was it?
That game was the week before Halloween, because it was like October 24th or something, because I was at that game.
Let me look.
And I'm pretty sure, and that Tennessee game was a Monday night game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that game was in October. I think it was before our Thanksgiving break, maybe.
Because what if because the Patriots played the Colts in an AFC Championship game and they blew them out. What if Blunt was on the sideline the entire time, just taking down notes of how the Steelers were.
How the Steelers beat the Colts, because no one expected that win either.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
We're having fun with this now.
Oh, my goodness.
That we can just keep thinking. We can just,
are you sure this isn't a Patriots broadcast?
We can extend from this for a while. Like, we can go on and on about this topic.
All right. It was the week before the Colts game that Blunt was cut.
I got my schedules messed up.
So that theory is debunked. Debunked. I'm officially debunking that theory. But wouldn't that have been something?
I mean, I appreciate the thought process, but I just don't
That's
buy
deep
it.
Thoughts right there.
Okay.
It is. All right, let's get deep.
On a different note. I'm just gonna give you a list of teams that are 2-0. And then I'm going to give you a list of teams that are 0-2. And you tell me what the biggest surprise has been so far. You can go teams, you can go players, you can go anything. 2-0, Patriots, Bengals, Broncos, Falcons, Panthers, Packers, Cowboys, Cardinals. Any big surprises there?
Falcons.
The Falcons. Why?
New coach, even though he is bringing his style of offense from Seattle.
Yeah. Dan Quinn,
that has something to do, and they're even, you can see it on their defense too, how they're very energetic. They're swarming, like there's like six guys on every tackle almost. I don't know. They just didn't seem like how they have receivers, and even though you have a good quarterback in Matt Ryan, out of all those teams, because all those teams there in the past couple seasons have been in that 2-0 spot, except for Atlanta. And second would probably be the Panthers.
Yeah.
Because they lost
Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin. That's their big loss. Mm-hmm. And Cam, speaking fantasy-wise, he had one bad week and one good week. Inconsistency, again. I'm making, inconsistencies. Those would – 1-2, those would be my two surprises in the 2-0 record right now.
I'm really surprised with Denver.
Yeah, really.
Beating Baltimore and then beating Kansas City. I thought Kansas City – I still think they're a playoff team. I thought Baltimore would give teams a run for their money. Okay. Baltimore is very surprising as well, being an 0-2, and you'll probably touch on that. Yeah. But I really thought Peyton Manning definitely on his decline last postseason, last year even.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely tell
ever since that Monday night game against – I think it was a Monday night game against Cincinnati where he threw four picks.
Was that the last week of the regular season?
Last couple weeks. I think it was
the second to last week.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
And threw four picks. Just ever since then, he's been on a decline, and really no one anticipated him to have a Peyton Manning-like season, I guess, this season. Their defense is great, Denver's, but I really didn't expect them to go into Kansas City and win. I didn't expect them to beat Baltimore because at times they looked lost in that game. Peyton Manning just didn't look good. So for them to be 2-0 in a division with Kansas City and a team like Oakland that people think that can do something actually this year, and also San Diego, that's impressive to me for Denver to be 2-0. That's big, honestly.
I agree with both of those, but for me, it's undoubtedly the New York Jets.
I can totally see that too.
Listen. First you had Geno Smith at quarterback. Then he goes down. So it wasn't even good to begin with. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback now, who has been a prototypical backup quarterback, where he hasn't really started a bunch of games in a row. He hasn't been a set starter at the beginning of the year. He's come on as a backup after someone's been injured, and that happened. And I just thought, there's no way the addition of Darrell Revis can be that effective on a defense, but it has. It absolutely has.
They have 10 takeaways.
Right.
And they had 13 all of last season.
I mean, but oh my goodness. I mean, against the Indianapolis Colts yesterday,
They made Luck look bad.
Yeah.
They made the whole team look bad.
Listen, I was down by 2 fantasy points yesterday going into that game with Andrew Luck as my quarterback. I didn't even watch it. I wasn't even watching it at the beginning of the game. And I look at third quarter, and it was still the same score. I just thought, maybe they just haven't updated yet. Turned on the game. it was what was the score at in the third quarter? 10-0
10-0 Yeah.
And I just thought, oh man, this
interception and mixed right, into that too early right. on.
Thank God for Moncrief catching that touchdown pass, because that's how I won that matchup yesterday. But yeah, I mean,
and their defense put up one of my
especially
friends fans 13 points ended up with.
Yeah, I mean, at the Colts, too. Mm-hmm. It's not like both of these inside. First two games were at home. I mean, at the...
No, I agree with the Jets, too. Yeah. That's very surprising.
Against the Browns, okay. Like, the Browns, no one thought they were going to be anything special this year. Johnny Manziel looked okay. He looked really good in the second game, though. But you just thought at the Colts, you know, Colts are Super Bowl contenders. That's definitely my biggest surprise of the season for so far, 0-2, would be the Colts. Because if you look at it, you look at the roster that they have. They have so many all pros. They Frank have Andrew Gore. Luck. Yeah. And they added Frank Gore, Andre Johnson.
T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah. I mean, they have
list
all
goes
the,
on and on.
Yeah, they have all the players.
Vinatieri is their kicker, and he's missing.
Oh, yeah.
He's killing
he's missed
my
more
fantasy
this year
team.
Than last year already.
He's missed more than Josh Scobie, which is saying something. Right. Yeah.
Scopes.
Yeah. Looking at the list of 0-2 teams, you have the Ravens, the Colts,
surprise.
The
surprise.
Saints.
Surprised.
The Lions and the Bears.
Eh.
The Giants and the Eagles. And
Eagles.
The Seahawks.
Seahawks, definitely.
So, of those 0-2 teams, besides my pick, the Colts, what about the 0-2 teams?
Obviously, Seattle's going to be up there, but they played two tough opponents. St. Louis, who I believe can be a playoff team. Green Bay, obviously, a lot of people's, even despite the Jordy Nelson injury, a lot of people's prediction to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC.
Right.
But I'm still going to go Baltimore. I can understand the Denver loss. Like I said, that was a toss-up game to me. I really thought Baltimore should have won that game. But then they go to Oakland, who got blown out by Cincinnati the week before.
Yeah.
And they didn't play well at all. It was bad.
A lot of people were talking about how much depth that the Ravens have. Before the season, they were saying that. And, like, I was watching this game against the Raiders in Oakland.
The Raiders.
The Raiders. And you just – I didn't see any depth at all. C.J. No. Mosley in his sophomore season looked lost to me.
Oakland put up 37 points against you.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. I mean
– And they only had 13 against Cincinnati, and that was late. That was late in the game. That was like with
– Yeah, that was –
That was with scrubs
in. That was
in.
Late, yeah.
And, like, I get it. Amari Cooper is great. I have him on my fantasy team. I was happy with that performance that he put up on Sunday. But Derek Carr, Michael Crabtree.
Yeah. Carr, I like.
Latavius Murray. They have pretty good – they have decent weapons.
They're all
weapons.
Young, though. I don't see them going into, like, going against Baltimore. And
just,
give them
right.
And
yeah.
What surprised me even that Oakland was favored in that game going in. And I really thought – I went against the spread. I took the
You took the plus.
Yeah.
What plus? It was really small.
It wasn't big, but I went with Baltimore and the points.
Just to cover the spread.
Yeah, exactly. I really thought Baltimore would actually win by a touchdown or two. I really felt confident about that game. So that's why they're surprising for me to be 0-2 right now, especially with Joe Flacco as a quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you look at probably the least surprising I've seen. Would be, I have to say, probably either the Saints or, even the Bucks are 1-1. So like I thought they were going to be 0-2 again, especially after the way that they started that game against Tennessee. I mean,
the famous Jameis showed up in New Orleans.
I mean, I definitely expected New Orleans to beat Tampa.
Yeah.
But New Orleans struggled last year. I mean, that division was just terrible last year anyway.
It was an 8-8 team made it to the playoffs.
Right. Maybe.
Mine's definitely got to be Seattle. That's a no-brainer. They shouldn't be 0-2. And then the Eagles. Like, in the Battle of the Birds in week one Monday night, I definitely thought it was going to be the Eagles coming away with that victory over the Falcons. So that surprised me. Murray's got to get going, especially for my fantasy team. He's got to get going. I think he will. The Pope will bless them, and they'll be good.
And I can't put it all on DeMarco Murray. I just didn't think he had a lot to work with that game. I really didn't think he got holes. I felt like every time he turned around, there was a guy in his face.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that also might be a little jitters going against Dallas. He said it was just that he was treating it like a regular business game, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. You could tell pre-game that meant more to him. You can tell in athletes.
Yeah, this guy had almost 2,000 yards rushing last season, and now he has 11 yards total.
Eli Manning has more rushing yards
through
than
the first two games. He has 11 yards total rushing. I'm glad I passed on him in my draft because I kind of figured that they would be having a committee back there, but I didn't expect 11 yards to two games. I mean, my goodness, it was ridiculous. They're not using the talent that they have appropriately. I mean, Sam Bradford is an okay quarterback, but when you have DeMarco Murray, you can't go away from him for 32 passes. Like, that's not something that you do. That's not something that you should do if you're Chip Kelly.
But the Pope's going to bless him. They're going to go.
What about the Redskins
undefeated
too?
The rest of the year? He's in their town too.
I was really surprised that the Redskins won.
Oh yeah.
Especially after the way that they looked week one. I mean,
they looked bad.
Yeah.
And then you're getting, and it was a hot Rams team.
Yeah.
Big win over a team that made it to the Super Bowl last year in the Seahawks. And it wasn't an easy win. It was overtime field goal, but still that.
Yeah.
The Redskins kind of, they have Kirk Cousins as their quarterback.
That's an impressive
right now.
Win, especially with Dallas.
Yeah.
Being without Tony Romo and Dez Bryant now for 8 weeks.
They take advantage of
that. And then Philadelphia struggling. Now you have New York who's 0-2. That's great for Washington.
Washington
to get a win against St. Louis.
Washington needs to take advantage of it.
This is tremendous for them. And they don't have – I mean, RG3 is sitting at third string right now, so they don't have that distraction. So they really could take advantage of this. And Matt Jones, right? Matt Jones, he went off. So now you have two established running backs. It looks like, I mean, I'm not saying Matt Jones is established, but two guys that have had – pretty decent game so far.
I mean, looking at the Rams, the fact that they lost on the road against the Redskins is making me think that they were sort of looking past them a little bit, looking forward to the game with the Steelers, because the Steelers are so bad at doing that too. The Steelers do that all the time. Especially when the Steelers play Oakland, we'll see if Mike Tomlin finally got his preparation time together, able to prep for the teams that, we prepare for every game the same. They don't. No, they don't. That's a lie.
Because we always overlook teams that we should beat.
Yes.
That Jacksonville, Raider, just to name some poor teams in the NFL, and we always struggle against them, but then we'll face an undefeated team and we'll make them look bad.
November 8th, November 15th, Raiders, Browns, both at home. If
winning
they,
by a field goal.
Both games, wholeheartedly expect them to lose one of those games. Because
I have it against the Browns.
Because the week after the Browns, they play the Seahawks in Seattle.
But then we'll beat them by 40.
Right,
like.
Right. That's the thing with the Steelers. They can lose to the Raiders at home, and then they can go on the road and beat Seattle. They can beat New England. They can beat Denver. They can do these weird things that just do not add up. But it's what Mike Tomlin is famous for almost now. And I think that's something that has to change. They have to beat the teams that they should beat, and the teams that they beat that they shouldn't beat is just a bonus. And that's what good teams do, and that's what they should do. Real quick, predictions for this upcoming game versus the Rams.
I'll go 27-24, St. Louis.
30-27, Steelers.
Let me look at what the line is right now.
Yeah, I do want to see the line.
Let's see. It doesn't say yet. That's weird. It usually does. Let me look. Because I'm basing my prediction off of what the line is right now.
I do want to see the line.
Yeah. All right. Well, since I can't find it, what did you go with, Ian?
30-27.
Rams?
Steelers.
Okay. Just based off of what I saw of them putting up 43 points, I am going with, in the addition of Le'Veon Bell, I am going with the Rams defense is really good. but they've given up 34 and 24 points so far. Not the best. They remind me of the Steelers defenses that were like okay, but not that good, because they didn't give up a lot of yards, but they didn't match with the point totals on the board. So I am going with 35 to 28 Steelers. I respect that.
Yeah. That's...
I mean, obviously the defense is not going to do that much. We saw that against New England. They have Jared Cook at a tight end who is capable of – he's not necessarily a Rob Gronkowski type of tight end. I mean, no one is. But he has that kind of build, that kind of quickness that can really create some matchup problems with the Steelers. But that's what we got so far on that. Coming up after this break on Sports Talk in the Berg, we will dive into Pirates talk, talk about your Buccos, and how much fans overreacted about the Pirates after their four-game skid, where they're looking to end up in the wildcard game slash the division, and where their magic number is. Hint, it's less than five, and they have a chance to clinch tonight. Coming back on Army Radio, your campus, your voice.
You may call it in the evening, but you've only lost the night. Preset all your pretty feelings, may they comfort you tonight. And I'm climbing over something, and I'm running through these walls. I don't even know if I believe. I don't even know if I believe. I don't even know if I believe everything you're trying to say to me.
Something like you love me. Sign up using Facebook and Django will limit your audio ads to only one per day.
Walmart can help you stay one step ahead of flu season. Because at Walmart, you can get your flu shot anytime from one of our certified pharmacists. No appointment necessary. And while you're in the store, pick up Lysol disinfecting wipes and Lysol disinfectant spray that actually kill cold and flu viruses and antibiotic-resistant bacteria. These are steps you can take right now at Walmart to help prevent the flu from getting to you.
Some immunizations may not be available in all locations due to state law restrictions on pharmacist-administered immunizations. Age restrictions may apply. Use all products as directed.
I'm never confused.
The hills, right?
Hey, hey.
I think so.
I'm so used to.
Right. Sports Talk in the Berg, RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. I love that song. I wanted to let
the
it
weekend.
Play. Yeah, I wanted to let it play a little longer.
50
but,
Shades, some 50 Shades of Grey, I think. I like that. I like his music.
I like this song. I'm not a big fan of the other ones, but I like this song a lot. He did a really good job with it. But hey, this is a sports talk show. Let's talk about sports. Pittsburgh Pirates.
Arg.
No. All right. So this is what bugs me about sports fans, especially baseball fans, especially
just
Pittsburgh.
It's such a
Pirates.
Long season.
Yeah. So after the our last show last week. After that, the opener of the doubleheader. After the game one of the doubleheader, they were two games back of the Cardinals in first. And
we're going to win a division.
Yeah. That's what everyone was saying. Then Tuesday happens. They lost with the awful lineup that Hurdle set. That was one thing. Then Wednesday came around. They lost 3-2. Thursday was the Gong injury.
Tears running down my face.
And on top of that, Friday, they lost to Zach Greinke at the Dodgers. And by that time, they were five games out, just like that.
Oh, we may not even get to the wild card
now. Right. After that game, I was actually listening to the post game of 93.7 The Fan. And there were people calling every second saying that Hurdle mismanaged the team into potentially even missing the playoffs altogether now. Because at that time they were only a half a game up on the Cubs for the second wild card spot, you would have thought that they lost 10 in a row.
Yeah.
People were ready to quit. People weren't coming to the ball game anymore. People were ready to boycott the Pirates altogether. And then all of a sudden they beat Clayton Kershaw. They take the Dodgers series, and then they win yesterday against the Rockies 9-3. And everyone thinks, okay, maybe we can still win the division. It's ridiculous.
We're not the only team that loses four in a row, people.
Right.
Like it's a 162 game season. We're not gonna win every game. We're not gonna. They've done it before. It's like they lose four. Now tonight they have a chance to win four.
Yeah.
In a row. Like they.
Right.
It's how it's been all season. It's just the stress
except
of the postseason.
Except for the
Cardinals. We don't know who they.
They're a different.
They're
breed.
A different breed.
The Cardinals have lost three in a row twice this year. One of them was to the Pirates before the All-Star break. Let's hope that happens again. When the Cardinals come to PNC Park for a three-game set, the second to last series of the season, the 28th through the 30th of this month, coming up in less than a week. That will be the most pivotal series because, let's just say, the Pirates split the next three games, the next six games. They go 3-3. And the Cardinals split the next six games 3-3. That will mean that the Pirates, if they swept the Cardinals, they would still have to make up one game in order to tie with the Cardinals, and then when that means that they would win the division because they hold the head-to-head record. They have the advantage in the head-to-head record, I should say. But if they only win two of three against the Cardinals, they have to make up three games in nine games on the Cardinals, which is pretty much impossible with St. Louis, especially in September. In September, the Cardinals seem to just say, okay, let's just pull away from everyone else. Let's separate ourselves. In the years that they won the World Series, the Cardinals had the best September of any team in the majors, both years in the last couple seasons that they won, 2011 and 2013. So, to say that the Pirates need to take advantage of this Rocky series is an understatement. And to say that they need to take two of three from the Cubs is an understatement.
They need to sweep them. For how hard it's going to be,
yeah.
They got to sweep them.
I mean, it would be nice to say, all right, if they win the rest of their 12 games, then they'll be fine. they'll win the division, no doubt, because there's no way the Cardinals mm-hmm. could win 12 in a row. No one's going to win 12 in a row to end the season. Let's just leave that go. Assuming that they don't win 12 in a row, what do they have to do to maintain or to take over the Cardinals spot?
Offensive consistency. I see them struggle offensively against the Cardinals in the past. You can have a great game from your
a great start from your starting rotation. You got to still score a run, and I don't know. Pedro's out of the lineup tonight. Morse is in. Walker's out. Harrison's at second.
The longest swing, a lot of it comes in to rotation. The major leagues, Morse.
A lot of it comes down to pitching and Hurdle and what lineup he puts out there every night. Because I talked about this last week, too. I'm not a big fan of his lineups recently.
Yep.
But he's trying to get Morse in there more often at first base. He's trying to – Aramis Ramirez has been hitting the ball real well homeward last night with Marte.
Yeah, right.
So, obviously, they're going to try to get him in the lineup. Now, I don't know why Walker – I don't know if it's rest or what's up. I'm assuming it's rest like it's been with all the other players while the main guys haven't been in the starting lineup. But Harrison's still in there too. He's not going to be your home run guy, but he's going to get on base. Marte's going to do both at the plate like last night homered and – throwing runners out with his fabulous arm. I don't know why people run on him, but they do, and he gets them every time.
Right.
He'll nonchalantly throw runners out. But the answer to the question, they got to score runs. They can't go in there and be like, we're playing the Cardinals tonight. We're coming off of a series win from the Cubs, but still, it's the Cardinals. Let's just notch, like, they got to go, they got to have that mentality of, this is it. Like, this is three games in their eyes. This is three games to win the NLCS.
Yeah.
This has to be like, we need to win these three. Let's sweep them in the NLCS. Let's pretend this is the NLCS and let's sweep them three games out of five. That's the mentality they need.
Colin.
I agree with Ian on the mentality. They need to sweep St. Louis. St. Louis right now has five games in a row home against teams like Cincinnati and Milwaukee, two struggling teams. Then they have the Pirates at PNC, and then they go to Atlanta and play a 60-91 Braves team. That's really not that tough of a schedule, not including the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
So given St. Louis is probably, subtract the Pirates series, they're probably going to win five or six games of that eight-game stretch. So now you have to depend on that Pirates series. They lose a couple there. Pirates still have they have a six game road streak all the way through Chicago, and then they play St. Louis and they play Cincinnati.
Yep.
So for the Pirates, they're gonna have to at least win, they're probably gonna have to win two of the next three games against Colorado.
Okay.
I'd say at least two out of three against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Probably sweep St. Louis and then win two out of three against Cincinnati to win the division, because I really don't see St. Louis dropping that many out of the remaining schedule.
Yeah, St. Louis plays three of the worst NL teams.
They have it so easy right now. We're the ones that we need wins, but they're throwing the Cubs and the Cardinals at us.
So really it just comes down to taking it one game at a time. They have to take every game seriously. I mean, in baseball, it's kind of tough because you lose 62 games in a season, you're considered one of the best. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But
and I've seen the Pirates be lazy this year.
You know what I don't get? I don't get how everyone and I think it has to do with how long the season is. But in April, if you lose a game, you don't even blink an eye. If you make a bad decision in April, no one even cares.
Oh, they'll get better.
You start 15-15.
Marte,
you're fine.
Right.
Marte made a stupid base run. He'll get better.
But it all counts the same. Mm-hmm. Like if you win or lose a game in April, it still counts the same in
back,
the end.
Mm-hmm.
I look back. The Cleveland Indians opened up with Houston this year, and I dropped two of the three.
Yeah.
And now they're in a race with Houston for the wild card spot. They're like 4.5 games out, I believe. So those two games matter. They matter a lot, but people don't worry about it early in the season. I understand where, you know, now it's becoming visual to the audience that, you know, we have to win these games.
Yeah.
This is it. We're down to the nitty gritty here.
Right.
But really, in baseball, you're going to win 50 games. You're going to lose 50 games. It's just how it is. But you have to take every game seriously, I guess. And it's tough to do because 162 games, you never see the Cal Ripkins anymore, the Cal Ripken Juniors.
Right.
You never see these guys play 162 games. They have to have a rest.
The Cardinals beat the Pirates by two games last season to take the division. in April, the Pirates were 10-18. Had they been 12-16, there would have been a tie atop the NL Central last season. The Pirates wouldn't have had to face Madison Bumgarner, and it would have been the Pirates in the NLDS instead of the St. Louis Cardinals. That is how important April, May, June is.
Especially April.
Especially April. Everyone takes April for granted. Like, it's just this rebuilding month, this recuperating month.
It's go time month.
Yeah, a month to get back in the swing of things.
No, that's what you have March for.
That's what spring training is all about, is to get back into the game.
Every game matters. And it's tough.
People do love every sport. Like football, you'll see it. Basketball, see it. Oh, like if you want to use LeBron, like why they struggled early on.
Yeah, they
that's
took
not
two
an excuse that they're new. Yeah. Their excuse is they should have done that in the preseason.
Yeah.
Right.
And LeBron took 2 weeks off, and they go on a big winning streak.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes I don't know what it is about professional sports, but it's also hard to stay healthy. LeBron went out originally with an injury,
yeah,
and then he took an extra couple days off, like a week off, and they came back stronger than ever. So in baseball, you're definitely going to see injuries.
Yeah.
It's impossible not to miss a game not due to injury. Not impossible. You've seen it happen. But nowadays, with the mentality of the players, their ankle hurts.
You don't see the Cal
Ripken
Jr.
never got a rest.
Yeah, you don't.
He never wanted a rest.
Yeah,
either.
You don't see those streaks.
He didn't need a rest
because you don't see anyone play 162 games.
And I don't think Kutch necessarily takes a rest without have. I think it's Hurdle sees it, some coach sees it, or the trainer or doctor see it, and they kind of just say, "Yo, you're sitting tonight." And he's not happy with it. No player should be happy. They should always want to get out there. If it's just like a little, like an ache or two or something. But like Marte's missed with an illness. Yeah, you don't mess around with illnesses these days. But like, you don't want him out there. But you never saw, like, Michael Jordan. He made that game winning shot having the flu.
Yeah.
He played with the flu. So
just in regards to lineups before we close out the show, and the Pirates are up 1-0 in the top of the second.
Another early win or early lead.
Off of the Starling Marte single that drove in McCutchen. Or not McCutchen, drove in Polanco.
Okay. I like that.
After that, one thing I'll say about Clint Hurdle, I think he's a really great manager for 5 months. Once September rolls around and those rosters expand, he tries to integrate too many of the players. He tries to use every player he has on that bench, which if you're a manager on a contending team, on a 30 games above 500 team, you do not – absolutely do not need to give players rest at this point.
Like,
there were times in April where, it's April, quote unquote. Give McCutchen a rest. Give Polanco a rest.
These guys are called up for like emergency situations,
right?
Injuries. Put them in when there's a blowout. You're up 10-0, whatever.
And the most of the teams that utilize the 40-man roster are teams that aren't in contention, that want to get
guys experience late in
the season.
Yeah,
you'll see a young guy. Let's say Milwaukee, because they're one of the worst.
Yes,
they'll bring up one of their quote unquote studs in the minors, and then see what he can do, and then that may give him Milwaukee the okay to bring him on the starting team next year.
Right.
But you don't do that when you're in a pennant race.
Yeah.
You do that when you're at the bottom of the barrel in the league.
Yes. Or, I mean, teams, they call August the dead arm month for pitchers, because that is slightly before the rosters expand. And the pitchers' arms, they've been going for 4 months now without breaks. Because pitchers, especially starting pitchers, rarely see a break because they have 4 days in between starts. But that's what the September call-ups should be mostly for, is to bolster the bullpen.
Definitely.
Bolster the starting rotation, and adding maybe one or two defensive replacement slash bench guys that could come in late in the game that have experience and or rookies that you that you would want to get a little a look at before next spring training.
And like Jeff Decker or Jeff Decker, he shouldn't like he's when he first got called up in September, he was in the starting lineup.
You definitely don't need
bring
to
him in if it's
changes.
A blow up. Bring him in if
I agree.
Someone gets hurt.
And the Pirates aren't thin on offensive positions. They're thin not,
they're
in the bullpen.
Heavy,
they're thin
heavy, yeah.
in starting pitching. It's
and I like our bullpen right now. I think they do a good job of, like Zach said, bolstering up the bullpen during September.
But you
that's
can,
the only time spot right now that they should take advantage of.
Exactly.
With
you can
players.
Always use fresh arms, though. It's for them to utilize it more on offense is ridiculous, in my opinion. You have one of the best outfields in the MLB, if not the best. Even with Kong out, you still have utility players that can play anywhere. I mean, Sean Rodriguez is one of them. You have guys that can sit on the bench and then give you quality at-bats. I don't know. I don't understand why they're continuing to mess with the lineup and kind of get the right thing whenever they've won 90 games. There's no need for that. You need to be more focused on the bullpen, which has been an area of, you know, that's lacking lately.
By the time we come back, September 29th, that'll be their second game versus St. Louis. That'll be, what, 2, 5, 6 games. We'll have a better idea of where the Pirates sit. But right now, as it stands, with the standings being the way that they are, do you feel that the Pirates – let's just say this. Where do you see – the NL Central shaking out?
As it stands.
Same. As it stands.
Let me – hold on. Let me look at this real fast before we go. NL Central.
I see
Pirates are – right now, Pirates are 4 games back, and the Cubs are 6 games back with 12 games to go. I'm going to say that similar to last season – the Pirates will go for it. They'll have a chance to tie the Cardinals in the last day of the season. They'll start Gerrit Cole. They'll lose that game, and then they will have to play the wild card game without Gerrit Cole, which would be detrimental.
Francisco would probably get the call.
But it would still be detrimental because Cole, even when Liriano's on, it's nowhere near where Cole is when he's on. Liriano has the strikeout stuff. But Cole has the accuracy, the location, and the strikeout stuff, and the power.
And I think if it does come down to that Sunday game, Cole's going to be on fire, but our offense is going to hurt us. That's going to be the reason why we're not division champs.
Hopefully that situation doesn't arise, because if it does, that would mean that the Cubs would know that they are automatically going to the wild card game. They wouldn't have any other choice. So they wouldn't start Arrieta. They would save him for the wild card.
They'd probably
game.
Put some of their bullpen guys
right.
in, probably.
They would put some rookie they called up in September in there to start the last game because it wouldn't matter. They'd be on the road either way.
Yeah.
So if that happened, that Arrieta would have an extra day of rest, had an extra game of rest.
That's
and
deadly.
Then, and you would have not Cole pitching.
Yeah.
So
Arrieta got you through a no-hitter against the Dodgers.
Let's hope that situation does not present itself. That's all the time we have today. Next week, same time, same place, RMU Radio Campus, your voice. Zach Loffer, Ian Kist, Colin Wilson, Sam Anthony will be here next week on Sports Talk in the Berg. Once again, RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. Nothing like water
down, whiskey, I would enjoy that game.
I guess some things just don't mix like you hope. Like me and you.